You see, we are all on a journey, aren't we? Even this Christmas season, as we enter into both the joy and the complexity of the season, there's a lot of things going on in people's hearts. For everyone that's celebrating and feeling joyful, there are those that are perhaps not so happy this season. We heard just this past week of a landslide in Florence, Oregon. And the dirt came down and went through the house and killed a lady and her dog. And it just was a blip on the news, and you think this will never touch anybody. Turns out this lady was sort of a stand-in grandmother for one of Carol's sons, Luke. And she used to cook for him and all of his friends when they went out and rode the sand dunes with their equipment. Year after year, she kind of mothered them and cooked for them as they camped. And all she did was hear her dog whining one evening, and she got up to let him out, and she opened the door, and whoosh, in came the mud. Or like the people in Seaside 2 weeks ago, those houses burned to the ground. 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, some electrical fire caught, and the wind was blowing 50 miles an hour off the ocean. It just practically took out the whole block. There's a lot of things going on, right? A lot of tragedy in our news. As I was walking along this path across Spain, I had a lot of time to myself, a lot of time to reflect, a lot of time to kind of say, what's it all about, oh God? What is going on? What are you doing? What are you saying to me? What would you have us to understand? And it's just a marvelous time. I would be so thankful if anyone else got to do that. But the Lord gave me this. Noah, would you come up now? The Lord gave me this little song. I think I sang it for you one Sunday and hadn't sung it since. And a couple of you have requested. So with Noah's help, we'll learn to sing this together. It's simply called Fall on Me, O Holy One. And it... The three verses are from the three statements that we were praying through this year, which were, Lord, show me where to walk, rescue me from my enemies, and teach me to do your will. So those are the verses, but we'll begin with the chorus. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me today. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me, I pray. Show me where to walk, O God, show me where today. Show me where to walk, O God, show me where I pray. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me today. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me, I pray. Keep me from my enemies, keep me safe today. Keep me from my enemies, keep me safe, I pray. Sing with me now. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me today. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me, I pray. Teach me, Lord, to do your will. Teach me, Lord, I pray. Teach me, Lord, to do your will, till that I might obey. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me today. today. Fall on me, O Holy One, fall on me, I pray. So God, again this Christmas season, we ask that you would come and dwell among your people. Be birthed in us anew. Let Christmas be the celebration of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, the word reads, God will decide what's fair among nations and settle disputes among all sorts of people. Meanwhile, they will hammer their swords into sickles, reshape their spears in pruning hooks. One nation will not attack another. They will not practice war anymore. This prophetic word from the Bible has yet to come, huh? We long for this day. We pray not only with thanksgiving that the Savior has come, but we ask that he would return again in power and glory and to set up his kingdom so that we might wage war no more. Amen? I sent around a week or two ago a devotional that you could or didn't have to follow along. It comes out of Biola University in California, one of their centers for spiritual discovery posts an Advent devotional every day of the Advent season. And I want to read you the one from this Tuesday, because this coming Tuesday's ancient Advent liturgy is called O Rex Gentium. Any Latin scholars? O Rex Gentium. It's Latin for O King of the Nations. And it's from where this it was taken from this text in Isaiah. So, Madison, if you would put the poem up. This is it's a poem, but it's a prayer. And are you able to see it? Would you, in unison, this is very liturgical this morning, would you in unison read the prayer with me? O King of our desire, whom we despise, King of the nations, never on the throne, unfound foundation, cast off cornerstone, rejected joiner, making many one, you have no form or beauty for our eyes. A king who comes to give away his crown. A king within our rags of flesh and bone. We pierce the flesh that pierces our disguise, for we ourselves are found in you alone. Come to us now and find in us your throne. O king within the child, within the clay. O hidden king who shapes us in the play, all of creation, shape us for the day. Your coming kingdom comes into its own. Wow. Hallelujah. We're going to receive an offering in a minute. It's a little bit of a minute because the offering baskets are not here. So we do have offering baskets. Before they come, however, James, if you'd like to come up, you want to help set up some things for the play. I draw your attention to just a few words from the annual letter I receive from Bridges for Peace. It's one of the ministries that this church supports every month to help those who are moving from lands all around the world back to Israel. He writes, "We held dozens of donor-focused events which enabled over 200 Ukrainians and Jewish Olim, the Olim are the immigrants back into Israel, to make Israel their new home. These meetings and all the travel that you sponsored enables Bridges for Peace to feed over 27,000 people every month, to renovate over 1,000 homes for these immigrants, to adopt communities for food programs, sponsoring 400 school children, giving over 300,000 kitchen sets, and buying the nation of Israel two new fully equipped ambulances." He quotes Isaiah 49:22, the prophecy of God in action. It is a good thing that we do to support Bridges for Peace. And I just thank the board for that and what they have undertaken on our behalf. Another ministry that we do not necessarily support as a church body, but you can as an individual, if you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see this from the Oregon Family Council. I included it this because they send this out this time of year. You know, next year, by April 15th, you have to file your income taxes. The government allows you in this calendar year, 2015, to take what is called a political tax credit of $50 per person up to $100 per couple. And this is free money for the ministry that you give it to. So if you write, as a couple, if you write a check for $100 to the Oregon Family Council, that $100 will come out of your checking account, but you get it back as a direct credit to your taxes due next year. That's why I say it's like free money. It costs you nothing. If you haven't ever used a tax credit or thought about how to use one, this is one of the ways that our government still allows us to support those things that we as believers in Jesus support. And the Oregon Family Council, if you're not familiar with their work, they are just terrific. Next week will be the last Sunday of this year. I'll get to announce next week the new reading schedule and kind of plan for our journey next year as a family. I'm excited about it already. I hope you can be here. Many people may be traveling for the Christmas season. That's okay. Ushers, would you come up at this time? We'll receive our offering.
Well, as we do, that's loud. Skip, step down here, please. Carol? Life is a journey, is it not? Whether they want to go to Spain or they want to go to Scotland or they want to go to Ireland or just walk around banks, it's a journey. So we know that this couple has anywhere between 50 and 100 kids and grandkids. I don't know what the number is, but it's way up there. 61? Oh, my goodness. So the board wanted us to give this couple, this great couple, all your money spent with all the children. This is for you on your journey. Yes. So I know the body would like to wish you a blessed and Merry Christmas. So in unison, have a blessed and Merry Christmas. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Come on. Let's try one more time. A little louder. Have a blessed and Merry Christmas.
Pray for the offering.
Pray for the offering. Let's pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of giving. We ask, Father, that you bless this money, use it to your will, and we just thank you so much for everything you've given us and blessed us. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Anna, are you a wise man? You're a wise person who plays a wise lady. Okay. The wonderful thing that makes this fellowship function so well is that there are so many of you who are involved in just about every aspect of the thing. I'm not going to attempt to start thanking people because I dig a hole if I thank one and miss one. But when you look around at all the things that happen, it is an amazing group of people who just everybody chips and does something. And that's what the Bible says, that we each have different gifts and we get involved and we use our gifts, whether it's music or administration or fixing toilets. Whatever it is, we work together for the body of Christ and for the joy of following him. This morning, we're going to get a treat. It's our Christmas play, and this year, it has been led by Mrs. Christy Losley. Where are you, Christy? Stand up. Let everybody see you. So why don't you come up, and I'll let you introduce what's about to happen. She's very shy.
So thank you for coming. The kids are about to show you A Night in Bethlehem. It's going to be narrated throughout the play, so it's a little bit different probably than what you've seen before. So I will let them get started.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to A Night in Bethlehem. My name is Amanda, and I'm a sixth grader at Banks Middle School. In this production, I play the part of the Virgin Mary. This is my costume. It's supposed to look like what people would have worn about 2,000 years ago in a country called Israel. Israel is on the other side of the world, and that's where baby Jesus was born all those years ago in a little town called Bethlehem. And you know what? Bethlehem is still here today. Oh, well, it looks different, of course. Instead of what I'm wearing, they wear things like blue jeans and t-shirts and have smartphones and internet just like we do. But tonight, we're going to recreate Bethlehem just like it might have looked like on that special night all those years ago. The night when baby Jesus, the Son of God, was born to a virgin, to Mary, to me. What would it have been like on that night over 2,000 years ago? In another part of the world, in a different country, in a little town called Bethlehem. Let's figure out together as we journey back to A Night in Bethlehem. About 2,000 years ago, I was a young girl in Israel who lived in Israel, and I was engaged to be married to a wonderful man who lived in our hometown of Nazareth. His name was Joseph, and Joseph was a carpenter. One night before Joseph and I were married, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
I had no idea what he was talking about, and I was pretty terrified by seeing this angel. But then he said,
"Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God."
I felt better after he said that. Somehow I wasn't afraid anymore. Then the angel went on telling me that I was going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. She also said that I was to name the baby Jesus. She also said that he would become great and be called the Son of the Most High. The angel said,
"The Lord God will give you the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
All of that sounded so wonderful, and I felt really at peace. But I just had one question. Excuse me, Mr. Angel, sir, but how?
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. His kingdom will never end." So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.
That didn't seem too bad. In fact, it sounded pretty wonderful. So I found myself saying, "I am the Lord's servant, I will do as you had said." Then the angel left me, but I never forgot. I always remembered what the angel had said on that special night.
Hi folks, my name is Christopher and I'm a fifth grader, and today I'm playing the role of Joseph, the man pledged to be married to Mary. You may ask yourself, dude, what were you thinking? First you were engaged to be married to a beautiful young woman, and then she is found to be pregnant before your wedding day? Can you spell scandal? Back then that was really serious. In fact, it could be deadly. So not wanting anything bad to happen to Mary, I decided to divorce her quietly. Yeah, back then, even if you were just engaged, you had to get a divorce to call off a wedding. But one night, after I made up my mind to do this, I had a dream. In my dream, an angel of God appeared and he said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
That made me feel a lot better right there. Then the angel went on and said,
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
When I woke up, I knew I couldn't divorce Mary. I mean, God was doing something wonderful through her. So I took her into my home to keep her safe. Then all there was to do was wait until the Son of God would be born.
I'm homeschooled. Today I'm playing the role of the innkeeper in the little town of Bethlehem. The innkeeper is a very important role, you know, although he hardly ever gets the attention he deserves. I'll try to spell it out for you so that you can understand. You see, after Mary went to stay with Joseph, a decree was sent out to all of Israel saying that everyone had to return to their hometown to be counted and taxed. They didn't have phones or computers like we do now, so in order to keep track of everybody, folks actually had to show up in one place to be counted. Joseph was a descendant of David. King David! And King David was from Bethlehem. Bethlehem! My town! So Joseph had to travel all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And that's when I, the innkeeper, become the star of the show. And it's when I deliver my now famous line. There is no room in the inn. Here, watch. I'll show you how it's done.
Excuse me, sir.
Name?
I am Joseph, and this is Mary. Wait, this is Mary. We need a place to stay for the night. Please?
Sorry, pal, but there is No room in the inn.
Oh, but please, sir, we've walked over 70 miles to get here, and Mary is very tired.
I see your problem. We all got problems, don't we? Well, since it's obvious you have a need here, there's a stable out back. Now, it's not much, but at least it's a shelter from the wind, rain, and cold night air. What do you say?
We'll take it, and thank you. You've been most kind. God bless you.
Did you hear that? God bless you. Little did I know, God was going to bless everyone on that special night in Bethlehem.
My name's Daniel, and I'm in the 10th grade.
I'm Samantha, and I'm in 5th grade.
And I'm Carly, and I'm in 5th grade also.
We play shepherds.
That's short for sheep herders.
Today, in Bethlehem. While Mary and Joseph were in the stable that night, the baby Jesus,
the Son of God,
was born. And Mary wrapped him in cloths,
swaddling cloths,
and laid him in the manger.
That means a wooden box that holds hay.
But don't look at us. We didn't know anything about it.
Well, not when it was happening anyways. No, see, we were out in the fields watching over a flock of sheep that night.
When all of a sudden,
An angel
from God
appeared to us.
And we were terrified.
But do you remember what the angel said?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.
Yeah, good news of great joy.
That will be for all of the people today in the town of David.
That's Bethlehem.
Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.
He is Christ the Lord.
And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Yeah, is that cool or what?
But that's not all.
No, that's not all at all.
Suddenly, a whole bunch of angels appeared with the first angel.
And they were all praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
Then the angels left us.
And we all looked at each other and we said, Dude, we gotta go check this out. Or as the Bible says,
Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about. And so we went. And we saw the
manger.
And
we found the stable.
And the manger.
And the baby, just like God had told us.
And afterwards we went into the town of Bethlehem, rejoicing and telling anyone who would listen exactly what had happened.
And we glorified and praised God for all we had been told and all we had seen.
What a night in Bethlehem.
Hark, the herald angels sing, Glory
phone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this thing on? I think so.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Abigail.
And I'm Anna.
And I am Amber.
I'm a sixth grader.
I am also a sixth grader.
I'm in seventh.
This morning, we will be portraying the three wise men of biblical fame. Kings, you may call us, although the Bible does not.
And though there is no clear indication there were three of us, there may have been more, or less for that matter.
But there were clearly three gifts, so that tradition has indicated that there were three of us. Quite, thank you.
And we may have traveled alone, but it's quite clear there were more in our entourage, servants, cooks, camel bears, just to name a few possible. The Bible isn't specific regarding that either.
Nevertheless, we arrived in Jerusalem seeking the one who is born King of the Jews.
You see, we had seen a star in the east and knew he had been born, so we went to Israel to find him.
We applied in Jerusalem first, knowing that the learned men of the Jews resided there. We believed that the most likely place for their king to be born would be in their capital city. However, when we asked at the gate, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" their Roman ruler,
a despicable man named Herod,
was quite upset.
Quite upset, and all Jerusalem with him.
But the loathsome Herod was helpful in his own way. He inquired of the Jewish leaders where the promised Messiah was to be born, and they indicated that it was to be in the town of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, of course, the ancestral town of their beloved King David. The Messiah was prostrated at the house in the land of David. Of course, he'd be born there. I knew that.
Then Herod lied to us and told us that he would like to come and worship the child, too. He asked us to come back when we found the child.
Terrible man. He had no intention of worshiping the child. He was just jealous and didn't want him to live long enough to become king.
Yes. That's what we found out later. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We went to Bethlehem.
Bethlehem means house of bread. Did you know that?
Yes. Thank you. I did.
Of course you did.
At any rate, we traveled on to Bethlehem, and the star we had seen went on before us and shone down on the place where the young child lived.
When we found him, we fell to our knees and worshipped him.
We also brought gifts.
Do you guys remember?
Gold,
frankincense,
and myrrh. The gifts, I believe, are now represented as our traditional Christmas gifts.
Yes, Christmas gifts. Very nice. Thank you. When we had delivered our gifts, we went to go back home to our own countries. But we did not go back through Jerusalem.
No, not back to Herod. We were warned in a dream not to go back his way again.
Instead, we went away in peace, knowing that we had found the true King of Kings
on a night in Bethlehem.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth
pretty darn good. I especially love the King James English, dudes. That's awesome. An angel dude. And they were afraid. Be not afraid. I like that. How y'all doing? Everybody feeling good? So can you remember, in just milliseconds of time now, can you remember a favorite Bible verse? A verse in the scripture that speaks to you. Some people have what is called a life verse. One that's just always on their lips when anybody has any question about Bible verses. Mine is Colossians 1:27 about the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me see a hand of someone who has a Bible verse. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Another hand. Mark. Cousin Larry.
Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as God gives. It's peace to you and me. Praise the Lord.
Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together.
You don't have to race it. Share it nice and slow. Yes, ma'am, you had one, Anna? You keep thinking on it. Good deal. In the back, yes, sir. Cheryl. Anita. Any in the South 40? Yes, sir.
Galatians 5:6, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love.
Wow. Lynn?
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
I'm working the back of the room now. Come on, back of the room. You're yes, ma'am, there you are. Amen. It will do it. I missed one. Yes.
Proverbs 17. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Revelation 14. The angel flying overhead says, "Give glory to God, the Creator of the heavens and everything that is in them, the Creator of the earth and everything that is in it, and the Creator of the seas and everything that is in them."
Who can remember Genesis 1? One. In the beginning, God. Who can tell me Revelation 22, the end? Even so, come. From beginning to end. This is the Word of God. You've shared amongst yourselves this morning. This is the Bible. You know this, church, because you've been reading God's Word. I applaud you for doing it. I encourage you to strike on the rest of this year, and then we'll begin afresh next year together. The best sermons are your lives. and your testimonies and the way that you can share with other people a Merry Christmas. Even if things are tough, even if tragedies are happening, we still need to be those who say, a merry heart doeth good. It's a medicine, and laughter is good for the bones. Amen? So, Father, we exalt you this morning. We give you our praise and our thanks. God, please bless all these families. Bless especially our children as they have shared your word with us this morning. Let the next few days of this week draw us even closer to you as we await your birth this Christmas Eve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are all invited. Christmas Eve service is here at 7 o'clock. It's a candlelight communion carol sing. It's not a preaching service with a lot of things. We're just going to sing through the Christmas carols, enjoy the Word of God together, and have our communion. So if you're not out of town, you're certainly invited Thursday night at 7. God bless you all. You are dismissed.